today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston. Bread for the
Broken. We have hope this side of the cross and an empty tomb. We have Jesus. And so I would say, run to Jesus. If you're in a moment feeling like just a season of despair, encourage you to cry out to Jesus. Let him come to your rescue. Let him give you a peace that he freely offers to us that surpasses all of our understanding, our comprehension. Let him be your rest.
The times we're living in are shaky at best. One thing, days look like they're on the uptick, but then so many bad things have taken us by surprise in our lifetime, you just don't know what to expect. You want to be positive, but you also don't want to get your hopes up. In today's message, Pastor James encourages you to put your hope in Jesus. The world is unreliable, but Jesus is a sure foundation. You can trust and hope in him, and he'll give you peace, even in the midst of turmoil. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Job, chapter 3, with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
Verse 9, he says, let its morning stars remain dark. Let it hope for light, but in vain. May it never see the morning light. Curse that day for failing to shut my mother's womb, for letting me be born to see all this trouble. And again, he has probably had a lifetime up until this point where he got to witness a whole lot of blessings, and probably more blessings than bad stuff at the, you know, up until this moment within his life. And then it all comes crashing down. But we have to remember, I mean, the book of Job is, do you trust, the theme wise anyways, is do you trust God? Not why does bad stuff happen to good people? No, the theme of Job is, do we trust God? Do we trust God? And so here's this man, and he is at a crisis. Verse 11, why wasn't I born dead? Why didn't I die as I came from the womb? Speaking of his life inside the womb. And this begins a series of why questions. I believe there are seven total from verse 11 all the way to the end of this chapter. Why wasn't I born dead? Job, I don't know if there's a good answer for that. I mean, other than, you know, you're here now and you have a lot in your life. I mean, I'm thankful that Job was born. And although his story in this chapter, it's tragic. And I'm saying not just chapter 3, but I'm talking about this chapter of his life. It's tragic. It's heartbreaking. Right? But the book of Job ends, you know, a whole lot different than how it started. And so I can look at Job's life and I can be grateful that a man like Job was born. There's a lot of lessons we can learn from Job. But sometimes there's no real good answers, you know. And even if you had an answer to the why questions, I don't know if it would satisfy you. So I don't even know if Job's, you know, when Job's asking why seven times, if God were to speak into his life at this moment and answer all those questions, I don't think it would take away the pain that he was feeling. Why wasn't I born dead? Why didn't I die as I came from the womb? Why was I laid on my mother's lap? Why did she nurse me at her breast? And he's just like, what? Why do I exist? Why do I exist? Why am I here? And man, that's beyond just like a great philosophical question. This is a question that I think every human being needs to get to. And the answer, you know, the door that you, like when you get to that point, like the door that is framed out in front of you, I believe in my personal experience, the door says Jesus. And you gotta go through that door to find that answer. You're here for a reason. You're here for a reason. And oftentimes we go through difficult things in our lives for a reason. And we may not always understand the why God allows certain things to happen in our lives, but he can use anything that he allows to happen in our lives for the benefit of, oftentimes for us, but sometimes unbeknownst to us, for the benefit of other people. Verse 13, he says, had I died at birth, I would now be at peace. I would be asleep and at rest, right? To be absent from the body is to be present before the Lord, right? So there's no like, dead people aren't like sleeping in their graves right now, like in their coffins or wherever they're been laid to rest. You know, that's there's, and we can get into the whole afterlife kind of thing, maybe on another teaching, but presently, if you are a believer in Christ, you know, if you were to die in this moment, you would be immediately, you know, absent from the body to be present with the Lord. You'd be in his presence, okay? But Job is just saying like, man, I would be at peace. I would be at peace. The sad reality of this is that, okay, if that were true of you, Job, you would have missed out on a ton of blessings. You would have missed out on a ton of blessings. And let me just say this. There is nothing wrong with asking why. Okay? Sometimes people get in their heads. Oftentimes these are like Pharisee-type people, legalist-type people, where they're like, you can never ask why. Right? And it's like, well, one of the things Jesus said from the cross was, why have you forsaken me? Right? So it's like, you're telling me I can't ask God why? Now, he doesn't have to answer me. Right? That's up to him. But there is nothing wrong if you're going through a difficult time in your life to ask God why. I'm not going to tell you that he's going to answer you or give you an answer as to why this or that. But there is nothing wrong with asking why. In fact, Job does it seven times. Seven's a number of like completion. And I think he just really, at the core of himself, like he really wanted to have some sort of understanding of why in the world was all this happening to him. But it's got him to this place where he's like, it just would have been better if I had never been, you know, even if I was born, that I'd be born like dead or stillborn. Had I died at birth, he said, I would now be at peace. I would be asleep and at rest. I would rest with the world's kings and prime ministers. Those great buildings now lie in ruins. I would rest with princes rich in gold whose places were filled with silver, right? So he basically is saying like, you know, the grave is like the leveling spot, you know, for all humanity. Because whether you're rich or poor, regardless of your skin color or anything like that, the grave awaits us all. That's the reality of life, right? You can be born, but at some point in time you will die. That's it. And that's true for everybody. And I don't care how much money you have and you're investing in self-preservation and, you know, eating this and drinking that and injecting this stuff in your body, everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to die. Whether you're the king, prime ministers, princes, the super wealthy, we all end up in the dirt, basically. Why wasn't I buried like a stillborn child? Like a baby who never lives to see the light. For in death, the wicked cause no trouble, because you can't. And the weary are at rest. Even captives are at ease in death. Captives or prisoners is another way of saying that. With no guards to curse them, rich and poor are both there, and the slave is free from his master. He's basically saying like, man, the grave is the place of peace and rest. Good news for you and I. You don't have to search out peace and rest from the grave. In fact, you have a New Testament, right? You actually have the Old Testament, if you're reading it, and you're looking into it and you're seeing like, man, this thing is talking about Jesus all the way through. But specifically in the New Testament, we have Jesus, and Jesus is our peace and Jesus is our rest. So if you want peace, if you want rest for your weary soul, you got to go to Jesus. You have to go to Jesus. He's your answer. The grave is not your answer. He conquered the grave. Jesus is your answer. We have what Job didn't have in one sense. We have hope this side of the cross and an empty tomb. We have Jesus. And so I would say, run to Jesus. If you're in a moment feeling like just a season of despair, encourage you to cry out to Jesus. Let him come to your rescue. Let him give you a peace that he freely offers to us that surpasses all of our understanding, our comprehension. Let him be your rest. Verse 20. Oh, why? Here's his other one. Why give light to those in misery and life to those who are bitter? For they long for death and it won't come. They search for death more eagerly than for hidden treasure. There's a cross-reference for these two specific verses, and it's found in Revelation where people will be crying out like for like the stones to fall upon them. And, you know, during the tribulation time period where it gets like super crazy, and people will be like crying out for the stones to fall upon them because like what all that they want is for their life to be over in one sense, and it doesn't happen for them. And Job is just like reasoning within his mind, not concerning that specifically, but concerning, you know, his own situation as he's reflecting upon like, man, why was I even born? And, you know, if at best case scenario, I should have been like, you know, born dead, right? Which is not a good scenario at all. But why give light to those in misery, life to those who are bitter? Right? They long for death and it won't come. They search for death more eagerly than for hidden treasure. Like, why not give them what they want? It says there, verse 22, they're filled with joy when they finally die and rejoice when they find the grave. Now, you need to understand that this is a statement that this man is making and proclaiming from brokenness. When the fact of the matter is that he doesn't even know if this is necessarily true, right? Like, this is an assumption. Like people that are, you know, in misery hear that the thing that brings them the greatest joy is when they stop living. However, there's a whole nother side to, you know, to life. And we have life that is lived here and now. But there is this thing called eternity. And the ones who are truly filled with joy when they finally die are those who know for certain where they're headed. And I've been with individuals as they breathe their last breath. And there is a difference. There is a difference between those who know Jesus and those who do not know Jesus. And the ones with the joy and the light and the rejoicing are 100% confident in knowing, man, that they are basically running into the arms of Jesus. And it's not like that. It's not always like that with individuals who don't know Jesus. So Job he's functioning out of like this, you know, he's making this assumption, but it's made out of like this deep pit of despair that he finds himself in. Why is life given to those with no future? Those God has surrounded with difficulties. And that's his last why question of this chapter. And he's just like, I mean, you can envision it, like he's just there and he's, you know, sitting there and he's just covered with these boils and pustulous boils, right? And there's worms and, you know, the only relief he gets is from scraping out these wounds with broken pieces of pottery and maybe taking the ash from that, you know, ash pile and rubbing it into his wounds to try to get some sort of relief. And he's just sitting there and he's just broken. Covered, I mean, just completely covered head to foot with sores. And fresh on his mind is, you know, top of the list is not his financial stuff. I would go out to say with almost 100% confidence, top of his list are his 10 children that died. And why I think I could speak with confidence on that, number one, is because I think he's, you know, well, not all humans think that way, which is sad and tragic, right? The loss of human life should always be more important than the loss of finances, right? Or even the loss of animals, right? The loss of human life should trump them all. But here's a guy who would wake up in the morning and he would offer up sacrifices on behalf of his kids just in case they sinned against God. And he's sitting with this reality, man. This has been like probably, you know, maybe a week, a little over a week's time. I'm not exactly sure how much time has passed from chapter 1 to chapter 3, but he's just sitting there and he's lost everything. And he's lost his 10 kids. And his wife's encouragement to him is curse God and die. And he's got his companions there, his friends are there, and they're not speaking yet, but they're about to open up their mouths. And Job's probably going to wish at some point in time that they would shut their mouths. But he's just like, he's just throwing it up, man. He's just like, and I understand. I would be doing the same exact thing. You know, sometimes we think like, oh no, you know, I'd probably be like, you know, finding comfort through quoting some verses and this or that. And it's like, man, until you've been in positions like this, you have no idea how you're going to react. But Job is going through the most difficult and challenging time of his life. And he's essentially saying like, what is the point? What's the point? He says, verse 24, I can't eat for sighing. My groans pour out like water. He's just saying like, I have no appetite. All he's doing is there's just this groans and this mourning, this brokenness. He's got no space for food, right? Like he's just crushed, broken. Verse 25, here's the key. I mean, this gives you, oh man, just gives you such insight into this man. What I always feared has happened to me. What I dreaded has come true. And this is that moment when your heroes of the Bible become real people, just like you, just like me. See, just like us, Job had a fear of losing everything. Losing those who are closest to him. He had this fear of that. And he says, what I always feared has happened to me. So maybe part of his motivation for getting up in the morning and offering up these sacrifices on behalf of his kids to the Lord was he just carried with him this fear of like, man, what if one day they're not here? And that day has happened. This isn't one of those nonsensical things where it's like, hey, you can't speak anything negative because then it'll come true. That's dumb, okay? I'm sorry if that's offensive, but like, that's not biblical, right? That's not true, guys. Not true, all right? Whether Job spoke about this stuff or not, this is what happened. And there's no even indication that he ever even verbalized any of this stuff, but he did internalize, you know, he had this fear that all parents have, all husbands and wives have. Right? If you got any kind of loved one in your life, you have at one point in time you've experienced this kind of fear. And it's become a reality for him. What he dreaded has come true. And he ends with saying, verse 26, my bad. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest. Only trouble comes. So all the stuff that he was talking about, he's essentially saying, he's like, man, I'm not talking about other people. I'm talking about myself. I'm the one with no peace. I'm the one with no rest. I'm the one with no quietness. I'm the one sitting in my difficulties, in my troubles. When you place yourself in the story, it just has this way of moving you with emotion. I was kind of tearing up as I was reading this, you know, from Job, and to get to that place where he's just like, I'm broken. I'm just broken. The good news, and I feel like I should remind us of this, is that in Christ, everything that he says he doesn't have has been made available to you and to me. And it's a reality that Job knows. He knows. But in this moment, he's like, I don't have any of this stuff. But I'm telling you right now that what you and I have access to is peace, quietness, rest. And it's all found in Jesus. It's all found in Jesus. And so I would encourage you, again, run to Jesus. Run to the Lord. When the storms of life come crashing upon your shores, find refuge in Jesus. Find refuge in him. And you can pray and you can call upon him and you say, Jesus, I don't need peace. I need your peace. Jesus, I don't need rest. I need your rest. I don't need quietness, Lord. I need your quietness. Lord, I need the good shepherd to guide me and to protect me and to lead me. Man, you just stick close to Jesus. Stick close to him. Like I said at the beginning, this opens up the conversation now because the person who was mourning has now made his statement. And so this now opens it up for his friends to contribute and to begin to, you know, give him some advice and wisdom and ideas on what really is going on. The thing is that in the midst of chapter 3, as Job is like opening up his heart, his friends would hear his words, but they would never feel his pain. And so the counsel that they have to offer to him is inadequate at best. Because sometimes we do that with people who are grieving. We hear their words, but we don't hear their hearts, so to speak. And we can give them good intellectual things and all that, but we're not really hearing them. We're not really hearing them. So maybe you're not the person who's going through great difficulties right now, but maybe somebody you know is going through great difficulties. My encouragement to you would be to know how to sit beside them and know how to not just to hear their words, but to understand where they're coming from. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you insight into, you know, to hear their hearts, so to speak, and that he would give you the proper words, the right kind of comfort to present to them in their time of need. So this begins our journey, right? We got the backstory, the tragedies that have happened in Job's life, and then his first statement in chapter 3. And then from here throughout pretty much the majority of the book, it's just going to be a dialogue that is happening between Job and this friend, and then Job and this friend, and it's just a lot of back and forth. And so we're going to walk through this thing together. We're going to take good notes. And man, when we get to the end, it's beautiful what the Lord does. And it's a really beautiful thing what the Lord can do with tragedy, with the beauty that literally can come from ashes. And let's never forget, the scene of this story from chapter 3 on is the ash heap. And God is literally going to turn, you know, make beauty from ashes. It's a great thing. So let's just hold on with me for the journey. It's going to take us a while, but I really think you'll be blessed by just kind of going with me verse by verse and chapter by chapter through the book of Job. Hope, the hopeless, hopeless,
read for the broken. Thanks for listening to this edition of Bread for the Broken. Pastor James is teaching us from the book of Job in this series, which takes us deep into one of life's hardest questions. Why do bad things happen to good people? Job's story, his undeserved suffering, his cry for answers, and God's overwhelming response remind us that there's often more going on than what we see. While Job never gets a direct explanation, he is given something greater, a revelation of who God is. God allows pain for reasons that are ultimately good, but he may never fully reveal those reasons to us. Instead, he invites us to trust his wisdom, his justice, and his love, even in the silence. The book of Job calls us to a deeper faith in the one that holds all things together. When we don't understand the why, we can still cling to who God is. If today's message spoke to your heart, we want to remind you that there's always hope and new life in Jesus, no matter where you've been or what you're facing. We'd love for you to join us in person at Calvary Galveston right here in Galveston, Texas. Our services are every Sunday at 10 a.m., and the atmosphere is laid back, simple, and focused on magnifying Jesus.
If you're not nearby, you can still worship with us through our Facebook live stream each week. If this ministry has encouraged you, we invite you to consider partnering with us through a donation. Just visit breadforthebroken.com to give, learn more, or connect with us. We're so thankful that you joined us today, and make sure that you join in next time for the next edition of Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of you.